And away we go. Here it is, a Getaway Friday. Friday, November 21st, 2025. 12 coming up on 13 minutes past the hour. This is the time we reserve every week for the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor Whitaker is not here as of yet, but we are starting a little early. So Matt is in studio with us, and we'll wait till we hear a response from Pastor Whitaker. Matt, Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Church of the United States, the community room designated in her honor last night with a plaque and several, displays of her name in the room and outside the room. Not too bad, not too shabby.
No, I think it was good. You know, I think the room looks nice. And, you know, I think that, you know, she deserves the recognition.
What do you think is unique about her as opposed to other people?
Well, I mean, as far as, well, I mean, you know.
Well, she's been the one to do it, to go to the highest level in her field from Harding. I don't know that there's somebody else. Maybe there is. Somebody will point it out to me.
Well, I mean, I think that she's persistent. I think that's always good. I mean, she said, was talking about last hour how, you know, when she was running for treasurer, people would be like, well, you're not going to, treasurer of state of Ohio, people were telling her, oh, you're not going to win. You're not from Cleveland. You're not from Cincinnati. You're not from Columbus. But, you know, she didn't listen to them, and, you know, she won.
Well, that's one of those things I think people should recognize. Never tell people what you want to do, because they will kind of accidentally throw cold water on you.
People like to poo-poo.
Yeah, they don't mean to do it, but they do. They do. I mean, they'll say, are you sure you can, is that sure what that's what you want to do? I mean, do you think you can do that? People don't, they're not purposely being that way, I don't think. I just think they don't understand that that is kind of a negative.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they necessarily mean anything by it, but they tend to, yeah.
Well, if you have any thoughts on Mary Ellen, feel free to give us a buzz here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have any thoughts on the life and times of Mary Ellen Withrow. Well, that's something interesting. We just got a little tip here at the station, and we'll have to track that one down.
Interesting.
I guess that could be for a multitude of reasons. Well, I'm glad we've got the guest we've got coming next hour, and maybe he can sort that one out for us.
Well, that'll be good.
Ay, ay, ay. You know, I'll tell you, it's just day-to-day around here, isn't it?
Tends to be sometimes, yeah.
Well.
You'll have that.
I guess. In any event, it was nice to have Mary Ellen here.
Oh, yeah.
Good to hear from Ted and Carol Jolliffe.
Yeah, haven't heard from them in a while.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's always good to hear from them out there. Maybe they'll get a chance to get over to Harding and visit Mary Ellen's room, see the picture and the plaque and all the stuff that goes along with it.
It's a nice looking room.
It is a nice room, and it's where the school board has their meetings, and I think that is so interesting that her starting on the school board, that the room that's named in her honor would be where the school board meets.
Yeah, I think that's nice. I think it fits.
Yeah. 1948. Class of 1948.
That's good.
They always like to throw what class you're in there.
Well, you graduated from there, I guess.
It's funny, though, that people do go looking for Mary Ellen Withrow in the yearbook. You're not going to find Mary Ellen Withrow in the yearbook. That was before Mary Ellen Withrow. That predates Heinemann.
Heinemann.
And you got to know how to spell that.
Is it not spelled? I mean, I don't know, I guess, how I necessarily was. But if I saw Heinemann, I mean.
How do you think you spell it?
I mean, H-E-I-N. There's no H-E-I-N.
No, you'd have to see it.
Oh, well.
It looks more like Heinemann.
Interesting.
But she's in there. I've looked her up.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Can you, it's hard to think of Mary Ellen as a high schooler.
Why?
Well, because I think when you see people, you think of them at their place in life then, not what they were a long time ago.
Well, I recognize Mary Ellen as the I don't think about Mary Ellen's time in high school, but I mean she was there.
Apparently rather active.
Yeah, she was doing a lot.
Ah, apparently Pastor Whitaker will be here in 5 minutes.
Sounds good.
So we're happy about that.
Yes.
We haven't had Pastor Whitaker in the studio for a couple weeks. You know, Thanksgiving coming up, what are you thankful for this year?
Oh, same thing I'm thankful for last year. I'll do it again.
Boring.
No, this is good. See, because, it's boring to say family, friends, that kind of thing. No, I'm thankful for, everybody that does everything to keep the whole system moving along. You got to have the truck drivers, you got to have the people who, grow the stuff to put on the trucks, and you got to have people who do the stuff, and can't have cars if you didn't have people making the cars. Things like that.
Right. But if you do the same thing every year, isn't that monotonous, just like when people say family and friends?
No, because I don't think it gets better than that.
Well, I don't know. Depends. I don't know. I can find something different every year to be thankful for.
I'm sure I could find... Yeah, but... I don't think it's... But it's not on such a grand scale.
No, I don't think anybody's asking that on a grand scale. I think we're just saying, what are you personally thankful for?
Well, yeah, I mean, country would fall apart if we didn't have truck drivers.
Right, but it'd fall apart if a lot of things happened.
Yeah, you take one cog out of the machine, it's no longer a machine anymore, it's broken.
Right, but I think we're talking on a personal level for you, something unique to you. That's more of a broad sweep.
I don't know, there's all kinds of things to be thankful for. You could be thankful for things that didn't happen.
To you?
Yeah.
What didn't happen to you?
I haven't been sued. That's always good. Thankful that I haven't been sued in my life. That's positive.
You fearful for litigation or something?
Oh, people in America love the lawsuits.
So you think you could be on the end of a lawsuit sometime soon?
Oh, not sometime soon, but it wouldn't be unreasonable in my mind for at some point in my life I am sued by somebody for something. I mean, like I said, we love lawsuits here.
You know, I'm always surprised by the things that people say to other people. Not so much lawsuits. But people will just say anything.
Like?
Well, they'll just say anything. They'll say good things. They'll say bad things. They'll say things that clearly cannot be true. But it doesn't matter. They'll still say them.
Yeah?
I try, when I say something, to be pretty close to the mark on what I'm saying. I don't try to be outlandish. But some people, I think that's their whole goal.
To be outlandish?
Be outlandish and attack others. And I don't understand that. I think I will go to a grave.
Well, I don't know why your goal would be to attack others. It's a pretty waste.
All day, every day.
That's a waste of a goal, wouldn't you think?
Well, but I'm not sure why people are that way. I've never really understood it.
What do you stand to gain from attacking people?
I think they feel that it in some way makes them look better. Like they go up a peg or something.
I mean...
This is the conversation we were having last week.
Oh, yes. I remember this conversation now.
About if you say something negative about somebody else, do you respond to that? Or do you just let it go?
I mean... If somebody says something childish to you, why are you going to say something childish in return?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my contention was you don't, because then you go down to their level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You had a different opinion on that last week.
Yeah, I see. But you see, it wasn't... Like, what did I say as soon as the show was... Or not the show, I guess, but the hour was over?
I don't know.
Well, I don't remember exactly how I said, but basically, I was just arguing to argue at that point.
See, that's why that's bad.
It's entertaining. I find it entertaining. I mean, I don't know if people like it, but I enjoy myself, so.
I don't know.
Now, you know, when you argue, I mean, you gotta, if you're arguing to argue, you gotta argue bad points sometimes, and then you make yourself look dumb on occasion.
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
I just think, like I've always said, I don't think it's good to create drama. For you can have drama, and I think when it is authentic, then it could be entertaining to people, but at least it's true.
I mean, I wasn't creating drama for anybody but myself. I was just arguing.
Well, I'm getting the word here. There's going to be big news at noon.
That's good. I'm excited.
So stay tuned. It's coming at noon.
That'll be good.
Thank goodness. Updates. I like a big news story.
We've had a lot of them.
I wonder what this will be.
Well, I mean, you'll figure out at noon, I guess.
That's right. Not too long away at this point.
About half an hour.
So big news coming up today at noon.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, and I think the noon hour will also shed a light on a lot of things that we've been talking about for this entire week.
Well, that's good. You know, you always like information that actually explains something.
You know, sometimes...
Will it open up more questions than it answers?
Well, I don't know. We'll have them at noon, I guess.
I guess.
See, that's a good booking. Maybe this will give you a show tonight.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. Could be good for you tonight.
Well, I hope so.
Maybe we'll ask the guest at noon about your theory. About
theory.
That certain people should not let other people in on things until they ask the questions.
Okay. Not what I said. Okay. Or I guess that is kind of what I said, but it's not really... Okay, I wasn't arguing that the mayor shouldn't tell people things. I was arguing, it was more so why. I was arguing as to why he did, not why he shouldn't, why he didn't. There's a difference there.
Well, I wonder if this is one of those things.
I assume everything I said could have been boiled down to maybe he wanted to, like, not panic people. But, I mean, should he have brought it up? Yes. But why didn't he? That's what I was... trying to explain, but I guess we'll find out at
noon. I don't know if that's another one of those things. I don't know what the thing is, to be honest with you.
The thing at 12?
Yeah, the big news.
Oh, well, yeah.
So, we'll find out momentarily here, and Pastor Whitaker will be with us momentarily.
That'll be
fun prior to Thanksgiving here. And we've still got about 35 minutes left in this hour. And then remember, a quarter after 12... today, we'll have a guest with us in studio who's bringing big news, and we're all interested in that. And then, tonight, 8:15 until 10 p.m., we'll be live on the air here. Possibly could have a guest tonight, depending on what this big news is. And then what's coming up on your show tonight, 10:15 till 11?
Well, we're going to talk about some football stories. There's that. We're going to talk about the Larry Summers thing. What we can, I guess. Talk about the local politics. Whatever is happening at noon, if it ends up being interesting enough, I'm sure I'll bring that up.
Maybe.
So just maybe. A mix of things.
Well, it's all coming. All right, and we now turn to the host of this program, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
Pretty good. Can you hear me okay, Scott?
I can hear you great.
Oh, great. Boy, I've had a couple of really, really crazy weeks. Last week, I'm sorry I couldn't be with you. I did have a funeral that was scheduled, and it just seems to be, that busy time of year.
That can happen during the holiday season.
Yes, it can. It seems to have popped in here a little early this year with all the things going on. Hey, you know, something interesting I did want to talk about today is in the Bible... It mentions thankfulness or thanks 157 times. So I think that's interesting.
That's quite a few.
So I would say it's kind of an important subject, wouldn't you?
I certainly do, and I think we should all be more thankful every day.
I do, and you know, as pastor here at Community Christian Fellowship, we talk a lot about it because I think it is so important. And you know, if this might be a stretch for some, but if you can't be thankful, you're never going to be happy. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
And people say, well, you know, I don't have anything to be thankful for. I've heard that before. You don't know what I've been through. You know, the very fact in this country that most of us, the vast majority of us, don't go to bed hungry. And when we do go to bed hungry, it's either because, in some cases, maybe we can't afford things, or in another case, maybe someone's neglecting feeding someone that they should be feeding. That happens too. But you know, there are so many outlets. I know here in Prospect yesterday, across the street at the Lutheran church, the line was down the road and around the corner, and they were, you know, serving people. They do that every month. I know there's a lot of pantries around in different places. And you know, I think that for the most part in our country, if we need food, we can get it. Now, part of the problem can be that we don't maybe have a ride to get somewhere. And you know what I think a lot of this comes back to is that helping each other, when you see someone in need, if there's an elderly person or that can't get out, or maybe they're handicapped or just have no car or vehicle, you know, ask them if they need a ride somewhere. I recently talked to a lady that needed to go to the cardiologist. And the cardiologist was about 50 miles away. And she said, I really don't know how to get there. I don't want to bother my kids. They're so busy anyway. And what most people don't realize is, and evidently she didn't, is that there are public transportation that will take them for free. But sometimes people just need prodded and shown those things. But, you know, really, for the most part, most of us have a roof over our head. And we do have food, and you know, when you go to different parts of the world, well, that may not be the case. It really makes you appreciate where we're at.
You know, it's interesting that you're talking about this, Pastor Whitaker, because this week I had the occasion, I don't know what was going on, but I ran into two to three separate people, and one had recently lost her husband, one had recently lost a parent, and I think the other had lost a parent as well. And I don't want to say that they were suicidal, but, you know, those thoughts were coming into their mind. And the main driver of that is that, you know, when you have somebody to depend on and go through life with, you feel you can rely on that person. And when you're alone, a lot of times, you know, what if my car breaks down? How am I going to get to work? What happens if I can't get to the doctor? And I don't think people realize how alone people can feel and what depth it'll drive them to.
That's really true. You know, several years ago, I know someone that it's been many years ago. I know someone that was falsely arrested, and they were arrested because of mistaken paperwork at the local law enforcement office. And they actually pulled up on the computer the wrong person. But anyways, long story short, they had gone to this person's place of employment. They had arrested them for work. They had taken them to jail, and they were not going to be arraigned until the next week. The truth was, this person had done nothing at all. And I thought to myself when that happened, now this person was a person that had family and was able to get it ironed out and was back home the next day. They should never spend any time in jail. You know, when you're not a criminal, you're not used to jail, usually. I know there are people falsely taken in this case it was. But anyway, the point is they had family and they had connections and they could have people make phone calls and do the things on the outside to get them out. And I thought to myself when that happened, what if this had been a single mother or father, but specifically most of the time a single mother, that had children at home and had no one that they could rely on or know to contact or no family. And I thought to myself, you know, the Children's Services would have gone and taken the kids. They would have had to wait a week to be arraigned. They may have lost their job. They'd have to go to court to get their kids back. They would have lost the income for that period of time. They could have ended up losing the roof over their head. And the whole thing could have just snowballed. So, yeah, I mean, things happen when you don't have somebody. And it's important, I think, that as the people that we're supposed to be, that if we know someone that has no one, we should be there for them to make sure they have someone.
Well, and you know something, Pastor Whitaker, I've analyzed this to a certain extent, and I do believe that the times we live in have changed this, because there used to be a time where people would stop by and see people on a regular basis. You know, they were driving home from work or driving home from school, and they would stop by and visit with somebody. They'd have dinner. That's not happening so much anymore, and because of it, you almost have to ask for help or let somebody know your problems for them to take an interest in you, and that's hard for a lot of people to do.
There's a couple things, you're right, and I think there's some things that play into that. One is, we're such a busy people anymore, we're rushing to get everywhere. You know, with all of our modern conveniences and things, we're so busier than we've ever been. And we're going to, sometimes we have to sit back. I hear people say all the time, my plate's too full. Well, sit down and decide what's good to eat and what isn't, get some stuff off of that plate, would be one answer. The other thing is, so we're busy. We're, you know, I'd love to stop and see so-and-so, but I've got to get here, I've got to get there. Another thing is that we have become a very private people that don't want anyone in our business or knowing our business. And, you know, in the old days where everyone sat on their front porch in the evening and all the neighbors spoke to each other, those days are gone. People now build decks behind their house. They don't sit on the front porch anymore. So there's something that plays into that. And a third one, I think, is a huge one that has really, really nationwide affected a lot of things. And you know, what I do is the church. And the churches, if you remember, Scott, when you were younger, as a young person growing up, certainly when I was, there was, you go through Marion, and there was a church about every 4 or 5 blocks. And those churches knew, because of their location, people walked to church. You notice a lot of these old churches in town, there were no real parking lots. It's because people walked to church, because they served a square 5 blocks or whatever, 4 blocks, 3 blocks, 2 blocks, 1 block. But anyway, the people in that community had a pulse on their community, and they knew the people that were in need. And when people, you know, maybe they were hungry, or maybe they someone was injured, or someone passed, or whatever the case may be, someone loses their job, somebody knew about it, and the church did the work that now we rely on the government to do. And in the modern 20th century church, wait, we're in the 21st, aren't we? I'm telling my age. In the 21st century church, now we're building mega churches everywhere, and we're just pulling people there, and it leaves a vacuum in where used to be churches. When I look at even our local churches around, and I see the churches that were running maybe 120, 130 people 30 years ago, they're now down to 20 or 30 people, and they're the older people. And it's not that there are no young people in church, but all the young people are going to the mega churches somewhere they're driving. Well, I don't see anything wrong with the fact that they want to do that or they do that, but what does it do in the local community when we pull all of our, what used to be something the church graciously did in their community, and we take all that support out? We pull all the people of means that are in a working stage in their life, and they go other places, and then it leaves not a lot to work with in the town, as far as a lot of times the people that are left, many of them are not financially stable. Maybe they can't get anywhere. And then we don't have it. You see these churches closing every day. You know, we are losing more pastors than we have graduating from seminary every year. And it's because churches are closing and dying. And honestly, it's not because of the message. The message is really, for the most part, I pray it's never changed. I think with the change in society, you see a lot of denominations following more of a liberal trend. But the truth is that we're vacating our communities, we're vacating our rural churches, our neighborhood churches, and you just see it on a regular basis. I mean, we've seen some pretty big churches in Marion in the last 10 or 15 years literally be torn down because they had no attendance. And, you know, the church had a huge part in keeping the community spirit alive. And when you take the church out, that's what happens. So with those three things that I mentioned, I also think there's three solutions. The first solution is, like I said, think about where you're really spending your time. Are you able to sit down with your family in the evening and have dinner around a dinner table? Or are you running so much that it's grab and go? Well, that does not make family life as solid as it should be. And it also gets you in such a hurry that you don't have time to stop and check on old Bob down the road that lost his wife last month. You got to get home. We can fix that. The thing about, you know, not being more, we can still be more neighborly. Get out on your front porch and get off the back porch. Talk to people. Get to know people. You know what, if people don't, if you got something to hide about yourself, fix it. Don't worry about what the neighbors know about you. I mean, we got to get rid of this. And, you know, it used to be churches would, when you have a visitor come to church, I know a lot of churches, right after church, would send someone to their house with maybe a thing of zucchini bread or something that just to say thank you for coming. Now people are freaked out and think you're stalking them. You can't do that anymore. And, you know, you knock on people's door and they say, who is it? And they don't answer the door. Well, it used to be people just gladly answered the door. I think we can fix that. I think the other last one that I mentioned were the churches. I think we can fix that too. Start reviving our local churches and our small churches and invest back in those. And I don't mean to make them another mega church. I mean to make them what they should be. You know, someone mentioned to me this morning at breakfast, they said, it's interesting, Steve, when people come in here, you seem to know the people well enough that you can kind of tell if everything's okay with them, because they said, I've heard you come up to me and ask, hey, are you doing okay? Because you notice that maybe I'm off that day. And with that being said, I think that in the local church, that's the way it was meant to be, because pastors were supposed to be shepherds. And a shepherd can only take care of so many sheep. And I know that in our congregation, if we're running 110 or so on Sunday, when everyone that walks in that door, unless they're new, I can kind of have a pulse on them. I know maybe I need to talk to this person. They don't seem right today. I know enough about them to know that I can properly minister to them. And we miss that, and we need that. And when we start going to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1,000 people, who's ministering to anyone? You know, it's come and listen, enjoy the music, hear a little message, and go home when you're done for the week. And that's not the way the church was ever meant to be. So,
well, yeah.
And, well, go ahead, Scott. It's your turn.
No, and I think you're exactly right, and I think it's the mega churches are a part of that, but also, you know, I think when churches started to be on television and churches started to be portrayed in that way, that was usually to reach out to people who could not come, maybe handicapped people and people of that unfortunate situation. But now I think people just, it's easier to sit at home, I guess, in your pajamas and watch church than it is to go, but you really don't have any socialization with that.
You're right, and the problem is that the Bible calls us, the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling together one another, and we are supposed to be there. You know, it's called a church body for a reason. You know, your body has many parts, and you need all of them to function. and we are a church body. We need. Look, when we aren't there with people that love and care about us, how can we expect to be ministered to the way that we should be? And how can we help other people if we hole up in our house and watch TV? You know, the other thing is too. You know, I remember that. And that's something else about the television ministry. There's some pastors on there that are really pretty solid, and they are great for those people that can't get out. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of them have really damaged the church when it comes to the giving and the begging and the, you know, you would not be surprised, I'm sure, at how many older people are giving money to some of these ministries that they don't even have, because they're told if they do, they'll say a special prayer for them, or they'll do this or they'll do that. And that's something that, you know, I think is really a sad thing. Those are the people that the Bible spoke in the Bible about, that they weren't, they had an ulterior motive, and I think a lot of times they do, because they live too well. You know, being in ministry, I there was a book called The Pastor, and it was written by a guy back in the late 1800s, and I found it somewhere, I think. It was either in some book someone gave me. I don't know where I got it, but I had it. And I read it. It was written by a man that had been a pastor for years. He'd also been a college lecturer. But he talked about the role of the pastor and what they should do. And it was very interesting, some of the things. And when it talked about ministerial ethics and finance, it said that the pastor should probably... his salary should probably be in line with the median income of his congregation. I thought, yeah, that's fair. And then the other thing that it said was, if you can't live on what the church can pay you, find a way to do it. That was interesting, because it said a pastor should never be out trying to scrape up money because he's going to get himself into mischief or accused of something. Because, you know what I mean? That can happen. But I think that today, many times, pastors are very concerned on how much money they can make, and it's not as much as a true ministry. I'm going to get in trouble saying this. Pastors are going to be calling me and letting me have it. But it's like in our church, from day one, we've been ministry-minded and focused. And the last thing I would ever, ever want is for my salary to hinder the outreach and ministry of our church. And I have found over the years that by not taking a substantial salary, the Lord's blessed me in other ways, and he's opened doors, and I live pretty well for a fellow that makes what I do. And most of the time, when I tell, if someone actually pries it out of me what I make, you know, and they're outside of our church knows because they get an annual statement. But, you know, if it's outside the church, people look at me like, really? Almost in a disrespectful way, because I'm not a real pastor because I don't make a ton of money. And it's just kind of weird that way to me, because I look at it as a calling, and I don't want to hinder the ministry. And, you know, when you get into some of these churches that have 5, 6, 7 people on the staff, 8 people, 10 people on the staff, and they're all drawing... what is a median income today? You know what it is. I mean, people have to make $60,000-$70,000 just to get by, right? I mean, that's what they tell me. I've never made that kind of money. But I know that, so if you take those people, say they're $50,000, just $50,000, and you got 10 people on staff, that's $500,000 a year. Am I right? Did I do that right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty close.
Yeah, I'm $500,000 a year. Can you imagine how much money that church has to take in monthly to meet just the salary? That's before utilities. That's before all the church expenses. It's before any ministry goes out the door and reaching out into their communities. And I think, my word, you know, and this is what we've created. We've created this monster that, you know, hey, we've got to keep people happy. Well, sometimes the message doesn't make people happy. Sometimes you have to tell people the truth, right?
Well, you know what's interesting about that you bring that up? It is very interesting being in a position I think pastors would face this. I think that people in broadcasting would face this. I think actors would face this. People do feel completely okay with asking you in public what you make. But you would never go up to somebody working in a restaurant or at a fast food place or a banker. You would never walk up and say, how much money do you make? And they almost, if you're not making what they feel you should be making, they almost poo-poo you in a way. And if you did that with if you did that with somebody who worked at McDonald's, if you, hey, by the way, person giving me my drink, how much money do you make? Oh my gosh, you don't make, that's what you make, you need to get out of here. But nobody would ever do that. That would be considered bad manners. But with me or you or an actor, that's perfectly fine to do.
I know with me, I've literally, and I've seen it on their face. I mean, you almost lose, your respect level with them drops about 10 points when they realize that you're not making anywhere near what they do. And the point is, I don't know if they're embarrassed because of what they make, or they think that you're not the real deal because you're not. but it's the same thing with benefits and, you know, and I don't want to, I'm certainly not in this, don't do this myself, and I'm not in this position. But if you look at the apostles in the Bible, okay, and you look at those people that were out there working, they were not living very high lives. I mean, they did not have a lot, and they relied on the people that they taught to take care of them. And why we've taken that from that example to today, I kind of call it you're going to laugh at this. I get in trouble for this one, too. Is the Abercrombie and Fitch pastor is what I call them. And you know, they're strutting across the stage. You know, they're wearing $500 shoes. And you know, I mean, if you're not wearing if you're not wearing $1,000 ensemble that's right up with the times, you're just not it. And, you know, that's not who we're called to be. You know, the biggest... You know what one of the things Jesus preached negatively most about in the Bible?
What's that?
Pride. And that thing of pride and that thing of look at me. Now, someone might say, well, you're prideful that you're not making a lot. No, that's not the case. I'm trying to make my point that if we're truly going to minister to people, it should not be about the bottom line of our salary. It should be about how can I serve God? And God does take, I am a witness to this. I can honestly witness to this and unequivocally say that God has taken care of me very well. And I don't focus on money. It's very rare that I talk about money from the pulpit. And I only do it in the sense of talking about, you know, how God really, you know, money can be a hindrance to our faith. Money can be a hindrance to our walk. You know, the Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And you see the difference. I mean, we need money to barter, to do everything we do. But when we love and we chase money instead of loving life, loving God, and loving people, it makes a huge difference in our life. And, you know, being a church that we've never been money-focused, God has provided for us very, very well, but he's always provided just what we've needed. And we don't... several years ago, Scott, when our church was in our infancy, we were only about 20 years old. We started around the kitchen table in Prospect, and we were about 20 years old, but it used to be that month after month, we were like, you hear the old thing about throw the bills down the stairs, the ones that land on the steps get paid, the ones that go all the way to the bottom don't. We were kind of in that place with our secretary. She's like, what do we pay this month, you know? And I used to pray for people to come to the church that would have means so that would help us and ease that burden. And one time, I'll tell you exactly what happened. We had a couple churches that were giving us a couple $100 a month, which doesn't seem like much, but, you know, with our budget, that $200 was everything. I was working part-time, well, actually full-time, and pastoring. And And then we were doing backpacks for the school, which we've done for 15 years. We provide lunches for kids on the weekends that need it. And anyway, we were doing it every other week at the time because that's what we could do. And at the time, the school was still in Prospect, the elementary school. And that's the school we were serving at the time because we were in Prospect. And the principal came up. So I get this thing in the mail that morning that this church wasn't going to donate anymore. And then I got another call. Another church was not going to because they had made some internal changes. And I thought, wow, this is a pretty good hit. And then my daughter comes up to me and she says, hey, the principal stopped me at school and asked if we could do this every week because the weeks that we don't send anything home on the weekends, the kids really come in Monday morning and you can tell. They're hungry. And some of them are. And so I thought about that. And I thought, you know, I said, tell him we'll do it. And I decided then, and I told the church that Sunday, that I was never going to pray for people to send, for God to send people to the church with means that could help pay anything. We were going to trust God for what the provision he makes. And what we were going to pray is that the Lord would bring people in the front door that needed to be there, whether they were dead broke or ever give a dime, but they needed to be there. And, you know, from that day on, this is the honest truth, and we have never struggled. We have never struggled to pay monthly bills. We've been close, excuse me, but we've never struggled. And I think that, you know, because we're not money-focused, I don't beat people over the head. One thing I've never done, and I said this from day one when we started the church, I said, I do not know what want to know what people give. I don't want to know what anyone gives because I don't ever want it to have the temptation of it clouding my judgment either to the positive or to the negative. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I don't want to accidentally show someone favor because I know they give a lot. Or I don't want to look down on someone because they don't give at all. I want to look at everyone the same. And what they give is between them and God, and I tell them that. So I don't keep track of what people give, and I'm not going to. But I think that, you know, those issues, a lot of those things have really, it's affected our churches. And, you know, people, I hear so many people say, all churches want is money. Well, if you stay home and watch TV and watch television ministry, they're asking for a lot of money, are they not? Every program. If you go to a very, very large church, they ask for a lot of money, and they repeatedly ask for a lot of money because they needed to survive. But if we would have left it alone, and the local church did what the local church did, and pastors didn't try to get wealthy off their calling, then what would have happened was the churches would have managed just fine. We'd have taken care of people in the community. We wouldn't have a need for the amount of social programs that we do, and everything would have been fine. Now, that's my solution. So it makes sense to me, and hopefully it makes sense to other people.
You know, it's interesting, Pastor. We've got somebody out here listening to us this morning, one of our listeners, and they're saying, who is this man again, and where does he preach? So let him know out there, Pastor.
I'm at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Love to see you sometime. Our service is 10:30 every week, and of course our Bible study starts at 9:30 in the morning. Great midweek Bible studies, but yeah, come and see us. Want to give us a call? We're at 494-2222. But yeah, love to see you. And yeah, I mean that is that's just how I feel about that. And you know, I try to follow that biblical example and. God does take care of us, so it looks like we're about out of time, buddy.
Yeah, we got about 4 minutes left, about 3 minutes left here, but I wanted to say this, Pastor. What is the message in short form here, because we won't get to be together again until the day after Thanksgiving for the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday?
I would say this, that, you know, really think about what you have and be thankful for it. We, as bad as we have it in this country, there are things that affect us, but a lot of them are of our doing. When we get in deep financial stress, a lot of it's because we have kind of overextended on things that we really don't have to. We pay a fortune for cell phones. We pay a fortune for all kinds of things of that nature. Entertainment has been something that we feel that we really need. I know that when I was growing up, we lived just fine, and we had maybe we'd go to the lake a couple times in the summer, if at all, and really didn't spend on vacations. Christmas was limited to things we could really appreciate, and we had a wonderful life. I think we try to buy our way out of the time that we don't spend with family that we should spend more of. We should be thankful for our family and thankful for a God that loves us and sustains us every day. And, yeah, just be thankful, because you're never going to be happy if you don't learn to look for what you have that you really need to be thankful for. Because I'll tell you something, there's always someone that has it worse than you do.
Oh, always somebody who has it worse. And, you know, back to our the way we started this conversation in the last 2 minutes here, the person who I was talking about who was down the other day, I would have never known that if I had not seen their body language. That person would have never called me. They would have never told me their problem. But because I was in the room with them, I could see clearly that they were bothered by something. So, you know, sometimes you just got to drop in on people. You cannot wait for them to come to you with their issue. Just because they're not coming to you doesn't mean they're not facing a difficult time.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Scott. And that all comes with personal connection. And our whole conversation today, most of it, I think, has been about personal connection and getting down to what's really important and what's not. And listen, you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Tell the whole crew there, I said, happy Thanksgiving. Don't overeat and have to sleep all afternoon.
Absolutely, and I want to end on this note, Pastor, from one of our listeners out there this morning who was asking who you were and where you were. Here's a nice message to end on from that same listener this morning who's listening. Needed to hear from this man, restored some faith this morning.
Oh, praise God for that. You know, if I can reach one person in that way, that makes my day. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I'll talk to you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, Pastor. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Pastor Steve Whitaker, the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio, heard every Friday morning here on WGH Talk from 11:15 a.m. until 12 p.m. Pastor Whitaker, always a lot of fun to hear from him, and I'm glad we were able to hook up this week via the old telephone.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, and we'll be back in 15 minutes.
Listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most